Welcome back, everybody, to the Scarlet Thread Society. As always, you know me, it's your boy Paz, coming at you with a little helpful advice before we get started. Lock your door, close your windows, cover your mirrors, and lay down a little salt. It's nothing spooky this time, but it never hurts to be cautious. Instead, we're back with a second time returning guest. If you'd like to go ahead and introduce yourself, please, to the new listeners we've picked up since last time.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I am Glass Delusions. I am an astrologer, and I was here about 6 months ago, maybe a little over 6 months ago.
Five, six, discussing, yep.
Yeah. Discussing the age of Aquarius and astrological cycles. And back again to dive in.
Well, do we want to get right into it? We are talking about cycles again. We're talking about actually, I suppose you could call it a pair of cycles, somewhat connected to themes we touched on the first time. And I suppose at this point, I don't even remember if this idea was born out of some mad idea in my head, or if you said something specifically that prompted it. We touched a lot of bases the first time, but
Yeah, I think we had mentioned it. I had talked a little bit about, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I touched on the fact that there are astrologically significant signatures in the history of Bitcoin. And the creation of Bitcoin, there's some pretty like mystical kind of Easter eggs, I guess I would call them, that people like Bitcoin developers are not necessarily aware of because they don't really know. They're not tracking the astrology cycles. And so it's really interesting as an astrologer to approach Bitcoin and to see some of these things, some of these celestial alignments. I think that we had talked a little bit about that, or I had mentioned it at least,
and
with a lot of my like age
immediately, certainly that's, it's all yeah. Coming back to me now.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I think maybe what I was talking about was, what to expect in the age of Aquarius and, talking about networks and how networks will take a sort of primacy during the age of Aquarius, and Bitcoin is sort of this, it's a cryptographic network and it's a monetary network, and it's kind of this, Bitcoin is celestially aligned in the same way that the pyramids are celestially aligned, which that maybe sounds like a crackpot idea, but
oh no, not here. It doesn't. Here, this is right up our alley. Yes.
Good.
So we will come back to that in just a moment.
Yeah.
We've very well established your astrological credentials. Before we get too deep into what we're actually talking about, would you tell us a little bit about your history with Bitcoin, how you got into it, what your exposure is to it, etc., etc.?
Yeah, sure. So I really got into Bitcoin probably in early 2021. I had met a friend who's since become one of my closest collaborators and a close friend who kind of initiated me into the Bitcoin world. He had been working in the crypto industry for a few years at that point. And he was working on doing a lot of like software developments within the Bitcoin network at this point too. And at the beginning of, well, I'll continue on my own history, but there's a whole like Bitcoin cycle history too that's happening in tandem here. But in any case, at the end of 2020, Bitcoin had hit an all-time high that was very astrologically significant. And then in 2021, NFTs sort of exploded. NFTs had already, and their NFTs, of course, were on the Ethereum network, so slightly different. But this sort of explosion of cryptocurrency was happening in the spring of 2021. And I had been working in digital media and sort of the contemporary art world at the time. So I was paying attention to NFTs. And of course, NFTs had been around since about 2017, I believe, but they really had, they really like exploded on the scene with the Sotheby's auction that sold Beeple's NFT for $69 million. I forget how many Ethereum that was.
Which is just ridiculous, right? That's is that the same as laundering money through classic art? Was that just more of the same? Because there's got to be some explanation for that, right?
I mean, yeah, basically. And it it was it is. It's the same kind of scheme.
I don't want to downplay art because I'm an art lover, but come on, get real. You just paid $69 million for contract rights to a JPEG.
I
know it's more complicated than that, but
yeah. And I mean, it's true. There's this inflation of these assets, which is a symptom of fiat currency.
100%. Yes.
And so that's the core issue here, is that there is a fundamental corruption of our currency happening right now. And so you have to launder money through these things such as like art and inflating the art market and then inflating the digital art market and sort of grasping at these digital assets. Media assets. But in any case, that's happening in 2021. And I am like sort of starting to pay attention to this. And as I said, I had this friend who kind of introduced me to this whole world of Bitcoin. And essentially, he introduced me to this philosophy around fiat currency and this corrupt currency and why Bitcoin is the only alternative, Bitcoin being backed by proof of work, a cryptographic monetary exchange, and an asset that is backed by something that is not fiat. And as I started to learn more about it, I realized that there were I realized a lot of the signatures of Bitcoin being very Aquarian. And so it had been on my radar, this notion of the Age of Aquarius. And I mean, I was probably four-ish years into my study of astrology. So I had a pretty good grasp of things. And so I started to pick up on a lot of astrological significances of around Bitcoin. And from there, I just kind of followed that thread and it became very clear that there were some significant, as I said, celestial alignments. And then there were also significant kind of events that were happening within Bitcoin's timeline and Bitcoin's trajectory. There were significant events that were aligned with certain astrological transits. Then I think probably about a year later, we started looking into the concept of Bitcoin's natal chart came up, and so we looked at
that. So good, that is exactly why I wanted to do this. Please tell us more.
Yeah, I should probably pull that up on my own computer just to so that I can have it for reference. But yeah, I mean everything. So the nice thing about astrology is everybody has a birthday, so everybody has a natal chart, and that's why astrology is so universal and it's this like perennial truth. But you can also look at a natal chart for a significant event in the world. You can look at it for the birth of a company, the birth of a nation.
And that is actually a fairly common practice, isn't it? Especially with companies and corporations. I know there's several outfits out there that trade exclusively based on that. I've never looked into how successful they are, but if they're still operating, they must be.
Yeah. They're very successful. I mean, there's that famous quote that is attributed to JP Morgan. I wonder how, I guess I'm like 40% skeptical of how accurate this quote is, but it says millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. That's like the,
you know, the trope. I am rightfully skeptical of that too, but I'm willing to say that I want that to be true.
Yes. Well, and I, you know, the attribution to JP Morgan might not be true. But however, it's definitely true that millionaires don't and billionaires do. Like it's,
100%.
That's definitely true.
Yep.
And yeah, and financial astrology is a massive, massive industry, but it's very esoteric. It's quite obscured. And hedge fund managers, other like trading companies, they have, I mean, they will never call it financial astrology. They'll call it cycle analysis. and they have their astrologers like on a very strict NDA. Like these astrologers are like locked down tight. They will not say they're doing astrology because there's a huge operation to discredit astrology. That's maybe another conversation, but yeah, they call it like cycle analysis. And there's one financial astrologer named Ray Merriman. He has Merriman Market Analysis, and his term for it is, and he's a very like, I mean, he's a very established, respected astrologer. He's been writing since the 1970s, and specifically writing about astrology and solar return charts, things like that. But when he, with his financial astrology firm, the term he uses is geocosmic cycles. And that's like his reports, geocosmic cycle reports. And, you know, he reports on the cycles of hard assets, and commodities. And then recently, his firm incorporated Bitcoin into their analysis. And so he publishes reports, on Bitcoin as well as gold, silver, oil, things like that. So, yeah. And yes, basically like the natal chart of a company can be used, as a part of this to say like, here are some transits, like it's going to be bearish during this time because Mars is crossing over the IC of the company or things like that. Like it's, that's a very abstract sort of example, but yeah, you can analyze anything's natal chart, basically. Everything has a beginning and everything has a birthday, so to speak. And so, yeah, and the map, the natal chart is the map of what was going on in the sky at that moment. And the real-time planetary movements are constantly interacting with that natal chart. So,
If I can ask another question here.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the beginning, you said it was this friend who initiated you, and that was the mm-hmm. word you used. Mm-hmm. I want to ask, did you grasp that mystical connection right out the gate? Like, was it a truly initiatory exchange?
Yes and no. In the very beginning, like when we first became friends and we just like were shooting the shit and he was talking to me about Bitcoin and stuff, I think that I didn't see it as an initiation. But then there were some, but then as things went on, like he told me certain rituals and certain practices that people do when they choose to have self-custody of their Bitcoin. And that felt like an initiation, like finding out some of the steps that people take to self-custody their coin.
A lot of very, it very intense. Almost of masonry, honestly.
So almost, almost, yeah. And I think I wrote a Substack about this a couple years ago now. Or maybe it was like 3 years ago at this point. But anyway, this idea of, wow, there's so much to talk about. My mind is running a million different threads here. But the idea of having a cryptographic key to your wallet, a seed phrase to your wallet, that's like number one kind of lowest level initiation practice, this seed phrase. And the function of a seed phrase to your crypto wallet, of course, is because when you secure your wallet, you get the security, the passcode is just a string of numbers, but humans can't memorize a string of numbers when it's beyond. I mean, the seed phrase has to be either 12 or 24 digits, and humans can't memorize easily.
No, it needs to be something our own minds can parse, not just exactly. A computer.
And that is language. So the seed phrase, that's where seed phrases come from, is you have a word assigned to each digit that secures your wallet. And so a lot of people will, they can create mnemonic devices. They can commit the seed phrase to memory. And it's just language is easier, as you say, yeah, for the human mind to grasp. And so that, to me, I'm thinking, like, when I wrote this Substack, I'm thinking, okay, what else is, how do we know that language is the thing that is easiest for the human mind to grasp? Well, there were prayers, incantations. I mean, from the beginning of time, you have this sort of, you have language as this tool to initiate people to, I mean, again, it's, I think the most graspable idea that we have is the concept of prayer. I mean, children memorize the Hail Mary, the Our Father. People memorize prayers in Hebrew or Arabic, you know, like it's that's just what we do. And so to me, seed phrases are kind of like incantations or spells. And in this article that I wrote, it was sort of like, well, if seed phrases are spells, then 500 or 1,000 years in the future, when people are passing down their wallets and they're passing down the self-custody keys to this wealth and this generational wealth, there's going to be probably these like clandestine rituals where people are going to be like whispering the seed phrase into the ear of another person. And, you know,
like
that's going to be the
else.
Inheritance.
People are going to make memes of that until it's actually real.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it sort of almost is real at this point too, because of the seriousness.
Too. I'm playing it off a little bit, but yes, no, 100%. So I already just derailed us there with that initiation talk, but it was just so fascinating to me that you picked that word, and it felt super intentional, and I'm sure it was.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Because it definitely does feel, it feels very ritualistic. And then as my journey as a Bitcoiner and as an astrologer, and then as a Bitcoin astrologer, I feel more and more initiated, and it feels more and more ritualized, and it feels like there's a lot of clues to uncover the more that I learned about this and started comparing, you know, certain alignments, certain celestial transits. It feels very initiative, and I think that it's only going to grow more so.
So getting into that right away, I wanted to keep drawing this out and talk about it more, but we've established your credentials, we've established your background, and I'm just really eager to get into that part of it. You said that when you first developed this interest, or you were initiated into this, it was already in a significant moment at that time. Could you tell us a little bit about what that was, what was happening?
Yeah, sure. So a couple months, maybe it just about a month before I really got into this, it was December 2020. And specifically the winter solstice, December 21st-ish, 2020, there was something that was happening that was very significant. So I guess I'll just give a little bit of background context. Astrologers, what we call mundane astrologers, that's astrologers who study the astrology of global events, they've been looking to the 2020s as this benchmark of intense crisis and just significant transformational decade. Astrologers have been looking to the 2020s for years. One who comes to mind is named André Barbolt. He was a French mundane astrologer, and he wrote a book in the 1980s, and he predicted a lot of his predictions based on the astrology of the 2020s did come true. He did predict a plague, and yeah, very intense time period. And one of the key dates was around the winter solstice in December of 2020. Winter solstice, of course, for the Northern Hemisphere. And it might have actually been December 17th. It might have been a few days before. But anyway, it was the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter in the sign of Aquarius. And Saturn and Jupiter, that cycle is a very significant cycle. First of all, in traditional astrology or Hellenistic astrology, Saturn and Jupiter are the final two planets that we can, because they're the final two planets that we can see with the naked eye. And Hellenistic astrologers, they don't really use or interpret the movements of Pluto, Uranus, or Neptune. So they're just looking only up to Saturn. And so when Saturn and Jupiter, who are like the final gatekeepers of the sky, when their cycle is very significant for global events. And make a conjunction. So a conjunction is when two planets are at the same degree and same sign. They only make a conjunction every 20 years. And they only make a conjunction in a particular sign every, I think it's 400 years, or 200. I should have fact checked that before. But anyway, but it's a while. The point is, it's not very often that Saturn and Jupiter come to.
It's epochal, almost.
Yes, and so Saturn and Jupiter, coming together in Aquarius hasn't happened since the Renaissance. So maybe it's a 400 year cycle thereabouts. But anyway, it's, yeah, as you say, apocal. So it's a big deal. And 20 years prior, Saturn and Jupiter had, there's all sorts of other like layers to this too. 20 years prior in 2001, Saturn and Jupiter came together in the sign of Capricorn, and that's an earth sign, which is different from Aquarius, which is an air sign. So like there's layers of interpretations and what this means and what is initiating with this conjunction. That's another thing too, is when two planets are coming together, the conjunction aspect is an initiation as well. And it is like this starting off point. A new cycle begins when the planets come together. So this was a very significant time. And on that day, Bitcoin hit an all-time high. And again, it was in the sign of Aquarius. And so there's all sorts of symbolic significance to Bitcoin being very Aquarian. It's a network, it's technology, groundbreaking technology, all of these things that are aligned with the symbol of Aquarius, the zodiac sign of Aquarius. And then the day that Saturn and Jupiter are conjunct in Aquarius, Bitcoin shoots up, skyrockets. And it's been sort of, I mean, on a 4-year scale, it's been kind of bullish since then. And it's also like, it's crazy too, because 2020 was also the year of the halving before this most recent halving. So, cycles within cycles, it gets a little bit, you could really get skitzed out when you think too hard about this, which is why I think astrology is a really useful tool, because it kind of organizes all of this like crazy cyclical.
It's almost like a filing system for this stuff most people would dismiss as sheer coincidence, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We can get into this maybe a little bit later, but another point of sheer coincidence, as people would say, is the fact that Bitcoin's sun sign and degree of its sun is directly opposed to the United States, the formation of the United States, its sun sign. And then it's also 90 degrees away from the US dollar and 90 degrees away from the Chinese yuan. That's a whole other.
That is.
Maybe that's
that
chapter
is
two
so
of this episode.
Good.
I know.
That is so good.
I know. It just, it never ends. It never ends. And again, it, there's this element of like, if an astrologer, like Bitcoiners who don't know the astrology, and then astrologers who don't know anything about Bitcoin, it's just like, oh my God, there's a whole thing to uncover. There's a whole, like, there's so many clues. It gets a little bit overwhelming.
Oh, in the best way. That's just phenomenal. Yes, we will definitely come back to that.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the event. And how
the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction.
How has the past several years tracked with Bitcoin's movement versus what you might expect from examining it then? Astrologically, I mean.
Well, I think that it's, there's a lot at play. So it's kind of like a loaded question. There's a lot going on with the transits and the transits that are, coming into contact with different parts of Bitcoin's natal chart. Mm-hmm. One thing that, one thing, I guess, so 2020, at the end of 2020, Saturn and Jupiter, as I said, make this conjunction in Aquarius, and Jupiter in particular is beginning his transit through the sign of Aquarius. So Jupiter transits a particular zodiac sign for about a year. So it takes 12 years for Jupiter to make a full orbit through the whole zodiac. And so during the whole year, at the end of 2020, Jupiter kicks his time off in Aquarius. For the whole year of 2021, Jupiter's transiting through Aquarius, where there are a lot of, there's a big pile up for in Bitcoin's natal chart. Bitcoin has Mercury, the North Node, Chiron, and Neptune all in Aquarius. So Jupiter is hitting all of these four points. And Jupiter is the planet of abundance and expansion and growth. And 2021 was a massive year for Bitcoin. Starting from that all-time high in 2020, and I forget what the total was, but I feel like the all-time high was somewhere around 20,000. It might have been a little bit less. But by the end of 2021, in November of that year, Bitcoin hit another all-time high, 69,000. Massive bull run. Like, unbelievable.
Growth, yeah.
Yes. And that is when the planet of growth is transiting the zodiac sign that is so highly charged in Bitcoin's natal chart. So that's one example of how 2021 sort of unfolded for Bitcoin and unfolded according to the astrology. Now, another thing that is kind of interesting, and that bull run sort of, well, I'll just keep going down a list here. The other thing that was really crazy was the eclipse cycle, and this was affecting more cryptocurrency in general, not just Bitcoin, but the eclipse cycle in Taurus and Scorpio was happening in 2022 and 2023. And Taurus and Scorpio are related. Those zodiac signs are related to money and currency and assets and wealth and debt. And so you have this eclipse cycle happening. Eclipses happen every 6 months, and they happen in clusters, and they happen astrologically, they happen along a particular zodiac axis. So they were happening in the spring. There was a cluster of eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio. In the fall, there was a cluster of eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio. And during the eclipse in November of 2022, we had the SBF drama.
Would
and the
meltdown
FTX collapse
be appropriate for what that was?
Meltdown?
Yeah.
yeah, definitely. And what's interesting about that is eclipses are this moment. I mean, eclipses are extremely fated events. In fact, in ancient Sumer and Babylonian times, eclipses were like the original things that people were interpreting, the original celestial events that people were interpreting. And that's sort of like the beginning of astrology, is just tracking when you see the light of the sun go out and when you see the light of the moon be turned red because of the shadow of the sun, kind of thing. And so they're extremely faded, ominous. It's full of omens, and it's full of like it in ancient times, it was seen as this event that affected states, basically, and heads of state, because the moon and the sun are the queen and king of the sky. And when their light is blotted out, when their light is sort of disrupted in any way,
that clearly must mean something for our terrestrial rulers, right?
Exactly, exactly. And so when you have this eclipse cycle happening in this, on this zodiacal axis of wealth and assets and finances, and then you see these crazy the FTX collapse, this crypto exchange collapse, and sort of the lead boy kind of being offered up as a sacrifice, it's hard to ignore. And so that's not Bitcoin specifically, but larger crypto
It's related, and alignments. It certainly had an impact on Bitcoin.
It did. Yes, because then Bitcoin was very bearish along with all the other assets during that year. The other thing that we're tracking now, by we I mean astrologers and the super niche subset of astrologers that are tracking Bitcoin, is Saturn is transit. Saturn is currently moving through the sign of Pisces, and Bitcoin's natal Saturn is in the sign of Virgo, which is opposite of Pisces. And so there's this, there are these transits in a person's lifetime known as the Saturn, or a cycle in a person's lifetime known as the Saturn cycle. And these have been called the Saturn cycle plays out every 7 years. And a lot of people, this is somewhat mainstream, but a lot of people know the concept of the Saturn return, which happens at around age 29. And the Saturn return is when you have to, like, it's when Saturn comes back to the place where it was in the sky when you were born. And so it's this kind of like, Saturn is the planet of maturity and growing up. And it's time, it represents time, Chronos. And so it's this time for you to mature and grow up. And, it's a very hard, hard moment in your life, that like around 28 to 30, those are very rough years in a person's life because they are maturing and they're being tested by Saturn. But 7 years prior to the Saturn return, when you're around 21, you have your third Saturn square, which is just when transiting Saturn is making a square to your natal Saturn. When you're 14, Saturn is making an opposition, which is when transit Saturn is opposing your natal Saturn. And then when you're 7 years old, you have your first Saturn square. And so those are all traditionally known as the four gates of knowledge, and they're all maturation points. When you're 7 years old, you have your first maturity moment where your first Saturn square, where you are realizing at 7 years old, the child is starting to think for themselves. And starting to understand basic sort of right from wrong, what is good behavior, what is bad behavior, and making choices based on that a little bit. And then when you're 14, you have this opposition, and you really, this is why age 14 is so rebellious and also kind of angsty and hard, is because you're going through the Saturn transit where you're really feeling like you want to stay a child, you don't really want to grow up, but you know that you have to individuate yourself in some way. And it's this, it's angst filled. I just think of the word angst, because of that Saturn opposition. And then when you're 21, you go through a similarly like sort of uncomfortable moment, because you have to kind of like start making decisions for yourself as an adult, as you enter the adult world. And then when you're 29, as I said, it's a very like dreadful, I mean, it can be very productive for a lot of people if they know it's coming and if they've prepared, depending on how well they've prepared. But for a lot of people, it's very dreadful.
That's when reality finishes crashing into you and you become who you're going to be for good, right?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people will get married or get divorced during a Saturn return. A lot of people will change careers because they're like, okay, I need to, I cannot be on this trajectory any longer, kind of thing. I moved across the country when I during my Saturn return. But yeah, so anyway, to get back to Bitcoin, Bitcoin's natal Saturn is in Virgo, and current transiting Saturn is in Pisces, and they're opposite. Those are sister signs. So Bitcoin is going through its Saturn opposition right now, which is a time of angst and sort of hyper adolescence, this moment of maturation. And that transit will be exact in the spring of 2025. But we're going to be going through it from 2023 until 2026. And so for Bitcoin, I don't think that it's necessarily bullish or bearish. I think that it just means that Bitcoin itself is going to be going through a lot of different changes. And what we saw happen at the beginning of 2023, when the Saturn opposition, when we were gearing up for the Saturn opposition, there was a protocol introduced on the Bitcoin main network called Ordinals, which was basically like Bitcoin NFTs, same sort of function that NFTs have on Ethereum, but for Bitcoin. And that was a time of, Ordinals exploded. I don't even think the person who developed it is named Casey Rotemore. I don't think that he knew how much of an explosive impact it was going to have, but it did. It like totally it surged Bitcoin with like an insane new sort of vitality. A lot of people a lot of NFT artists had migrated over to Ordinals. They wanted to create digital assets on the Bitcoin network instead of Ethereum. A lot of like new protocol developments sort of developed because of Ordinals and this like sort of meme tokens, BRC20 tokens or what they're called, like came out of this. There was just, and also there were a lot of Bitcoin maximalists who were really upset and thought that Bitcoin NFT or Ordinals were diluting the network and diluting Bitcoin.
I do
Bitcoin.
Remember the discourse around that. I am aware of Bitcoin. I have Bitcoin, but I am not a Bitcoiner by any means. And that sort of whole row, I guess I'll call it a row, even that reached me. People were very upset about that.
Yeah. It was explosive, and it's going to continue to be explosive. It's going to continue to be a major signature of this Saturn opposition. That's my interpretation of it, is the defining moment of Bitcoin's Saturn opposition transit is Ordinals and how Ordinals gets developed,
so
how the protocol
if I may
continues to grow.
Offer a counterpoint on this. I half wonder myself if it's not going to have something to do with the ever-growing regulation around cryptocurrency. Because while that's not Bitcoin specific, it does strike me as a moment of or a maturation and decision point. You know, we've seen exchange collapses before. That's not what I'm even talking about. I'm talking about stuff like just what happened with Samurai and the Whirlpool Mixer. I'm talking about Bitcoin ETFs launching and all these mixed signals from the feds that are on one hand supporting it, but on the other hand trying to put reins on it. And that feels like that's a real issue that it's going to have to grapple with. You know, are you going to allow yourself to be fully incorporated into the machine, or are you going to deliver on your promise of actual independence?
And something that's going to be interesting, I guess my comment on that and my sort of official prediction is we're going to really see the regulations. We're going to see like the do or die moment with these regulations starting in 2026 and playing out 2026 to 2029. And I say that because Saturn will ingress into the sign of Aries. Aries is, and Saturn, well, okay. Aries is the sign of the individual. It's the sign of new birth, It's the sign of the spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. So it's this, everything is new and it's aggressive and it's sort of individual centered. Aries is opposite the sign of Libra, which is about harmony and balance with the self and the individual and the other. Libra is symbolized on the zodiac as the scales of justice. Libra is the only object. It's the only zodiac sign that is symbolized by an object and not by a creature or a human. But anyway, Saturn, the planet, this planet of restriction, rules, regulation, maturity, Saturn is exalted in the sign of Libra. That gets into a thing called essential dignities, which we don't have to get into. But Saturn, the interpretation is Saturn is an honored guest in the sign of Libra. Saturn does its best work in Libra, in the sign of equilibrium and justice. Now, when Saturn is 180 degrees away in the sign of Aries, he is known as being in exile. He doesn't have dignity. He can't, it's like the planet, when a planet is in exile, it's like, it's in a foreign country without its passport, being detained by, at its own embassy, and like can't speak the language. Like it's very crippled. It's very detrimented in that sign. And so I think with Saturn moving into Aries, there's going to be a lot of like, a lot of these moves to regulate crypto, to regulate, to just like put a bunch of regulations onto everything, not just crypto, but that's going to be the most obvious thing to try to secure. And there's like this planet of rules and regulations is going to be at a disadvantage. And so that's why I say it's going to be like a do or die moment of how these regulations are going to be adopted. And how they're going to be managed and how well they're going to be accepted. I feel like it's going to be a very tumultuous time.
So maybe I've got some good instincts there, but my assumption is a little premature, it sounds like.
Yeah, but you know, not by much, year and a half maybe. But yeah, I think, and Pisces, Saturn is moving through Pisces right now, as I mentioned, and Pisces is very much this like flimsy, wishy-washy, like gooey environment. So we might be, people might be feeling that and feeling a need for regulations, and then it's all gonna, the temperament around these rules and regulations is all gonna sort of crest during this 2026 to 2029
but
transit.
Even that is not to say that we are entering an era of the FUD, though, right?
No. Long term, I'm bullish all the way. I mean, I fully believe that Bitcoin is the megalith upon which the Age of Aquarius like blooms. I'm very bullish.
Oh gosh, that's a beautiful line too.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, so we just talked a little bit about being bullish over the long term. Is there anything in your research, in your predictions, in the chart we can use to forecast a little bit with all the obvious attendant disclaimers? But what does, in brief, on the surface level, a look ahead tell us as we get ready to start wrapping up?
I do want to bookmark the astrology of money, and I do want to, maybe that can be a little postscript, but I can give a forecast here too. But the fact that Bitcoin is opposing the United States and then the US dollar and then the Chinese yuan, I do want to like just...
If you want to do that yet tonight, I'm comfortable running long. Yeah, this is one that's totally cool. Worth doing that.
Well, I'll just insert it here now and then we can wrap up with a forecast. Because it is really interesting, and it's one of those things, again, where like it's a very niche subset of people who will intersect at money and cryptocurrency and astrology. So I just want to like put it out into the world as much as I can. But this is a discovery that was made by the astrologer Matthew Swan. He's a very established astrologer. And so I'm just crediting him. He's the one who made this discovery. So he is looking at the astrology of money. He's looking at Bitcoin's natal chart. And as I said, Bitcoin's natal sun is at 13 degrees Capricorn. And then the U.S., the United States' sun, based on the July 4th Declaration of Independence, the United States' sun is at 13 degrees Cancer, which is exactly 180 degrees away from Bitcoin's sun. At 13 degrees Aries, we have the birth, so to speak, of, we have the natal sun of the US dollar. And then, and that is 90 degrees away from both the United States sun and Bitcoin sun. And then 180 degrees away from that at 13 degrees Libra is the birthday, the sun sign of the Chinese yuan. And that is, so there's a visual here that is, it's kind of hard to grasp just saying it verbally, but it makes a giant cross on the zodiac wheel, the sun signs of all of these things: Bitcoin, the United States dollar, the US, and the Chinese yuan. They make what's called a grand cardinal cross because they're crossing at the cardinal signs.
Just absolute goosebumps. Oof.
I'll have to send you I'll send you this article, and if you want to link it, you can. But also, I'll just send it to you so that you can see it because it's remarkable. And it, Matthew Swan, in this article where he's writing about this, he's saying once you see this, you can't unsee it, and it seems as though whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is or was had a strong grasp of astrology, of occult sciences. I mean, it's really hard. That's just a guess, obviously a conjecture, but it's really hard to
That just
ignore.
Sends such a thrill through me. That might have been the last orange pill I needed to get me fully on board right there.
Good. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to, I really do love to orange pill people. And there's no, and I love to orange pill people as an astrologer. Like, that's my favorite thing. In May 2023, I hosted a symposium conference, satellite conference during the Bitcoin conference in Miami. And I did it with this person, this friend of mine who I say initiated me into the world of Bitcoin. He and I were the main organizers of this. And because we were trying to sort of like spread this news, so to speak, of like, look at these insane overlaps. Like, you can't ignore this anymore. And anyway, it was very successful, and people were, well, at a Bitcoin conference, everybody's orange pilled, but they were astrology pilled at that point,
yes,
too. So
even
that was
better,
good.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, it's just, there's these, this is like the meme, like there's patterns everywhere for those with eyes to see kind of thing. Like,
yep. 100%.
And so it's worth looking into. It's worth looking into this. I mean, this cross that we have and sort of, you know, figuring out how the digital currency is gonna sort of intervene with this, with what I expect there will be some geopolitical conflicts between the US and China, these like sort of warring global superpower type things. Like, there's, it really seems like Bitcoin is this like intense, crazy, like wild card actor that was just kind of thrown into the mix to see what would happen. And I think that there's,
with that perspective,
a lot of,
it almost had to be planned that way, right?
Yeah.
And we know all sorts of historical events have been arranged around these significances, so why should this one be any different?
Exactly. And the reason why I think Satoshi is sort of like some sort of wizard is or astrologer is because a lot of astrologers will do what's called electional astrology, which is where you you find a particular moment to launch something. And many people will consult astrology to launch to launch things and kick things off, or they'll use electional astrology to, you know, propose to their girlfriend or something, or get married. You know, it's, that's for people who practice astrology, that's very, very common. And so I think that, yeah, Satoshi, I mean, it is too crazy not to, it's too precise to not have been intentional. So Satoshi was probably an astrologer at the very least, but, yeah, so it's an interesting thing to explore, the astrology of money, but I'll send it to you and you can further read.
Yes, please.
But just to, I'm going to pull up some transits on Bitcoin's natal chart. Just to sort of see what's going on. So, well, this is not the, this is about 2 weeks in the past, so I know that it's a little bit deflated now, but something that was interesting was everybody was, you know, guessing at the halving, when the halving was going to happen. April 2024 was the target. And about a year and a half ago, I was thinking that the halving might align with the solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. But what it ended up being is the halving happened on April 19th during the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. So this is another, Jupiter and Uranus are both outer planets, Uranus even more so. And so this is another one of those epochal cycles. Jupiter and Taurus only make a conjunction every 14 years. But then again, also like Jupiter and Uranus will not make a conjunction in the sign of Taurus ever again in our lifetimes. They will make conjunctions in other signs, but this particular conjunction in the sign of Taurus is a once in a lifetime event. So it's significant. And I mentioned earlier, Taurus is a sign of wealth and assets, belongings, finances. So then Jupiter, the sign of expansion and growth and abundance, and then Uranus, the sign of rebellion, upheaval, technological innovation, groundbreaking, breakthroughs, eureka moments, discoveries, and just overall like wackiness. Uranus is a very like intensely strange planet. And it's also the planet that rules Aquarius in modern astrology. So you have Jupiter and Uranus coming together on the day of, and then Bitcoin goes through its halving on that day of the conjunction, which was kind of like, it was kind of perfect. It was even more perfect than if it had happened on the solar eclipse. So that's just like a fun little transit. But let's see. I think that, we're going to, be quite starting at the end of May and into the summer. Jupiter is going to ingress into the sign of Gemini, and which is another air sign. It's 120 degrees away from Aquarius, where there's a lot of I mentioned a lot of activities in the Bitcoin natal chart. And I think that's going to be fairly bullish. I think that what's going to happen is it's going to be, I mean, you know, again, there's cycles within cycles. It's constantly fractaling. And so I think that the summer is going to be pretty bullish for Bitcoin. There's probably going to be a lot of buzz. The Ordinals protocol just published or put out another protocol called Runes, which is another type of, I mean, it's kind of like meme coins. You know, if you have Ordinals as Bitcoin NFTs, Runes are kind of like tokens on Ordinals. So it's kind of like meme coins. There's going to be, I feel like there's going to be a lot more buzz with how data storage and media storage interacts with the Bitcoin network. And I think that there's going to be like a lot of further like sort of layer two development, transactional development. There's going to be, we might see this sort of like secondary market with Ordinals and Runes kind of ramping up during this summer as Jupiter ingresses into Gemini. So I'm kind of bullish on that. As we head into the fall, And there are, yeah, there's going to be another set of eclipses on the Aries Libra axis, and Bitcoin's natal moon is in Aries. So eclipses are going to, that's kind of bearish in the fall.
So,
And then,
if a
yeah,
person
yes.
was going to not do the research themselves, which I would never recommend, a person should always do their own research. They
Yes.
should be buying now during the run-up and get ready to hunker down as we get into the fall. All
Yes.
right.
Yes. And I and also, whoa, where is, yeah, also that Saturn opposition. I did not even know. I have not looked at an ephemeris. I'm, yeah, so as in over the next, we might get a little bit hairy over the next like 6 months as well, as Saturn, transiting Saturn, starts to go exact on that Saturn opposition. Let me just look up real quickly when exactly that is happening.
Yeah, of course. Please.
Because yeah, that's going to be some turmoil just in the, as far as the like life cycle trajectory. Oh, we have a Saturn retrograde, so that's going to disrupt things. I have an app on my phone that I just like have to dial through all the days and watch the planets make their transits. But this is the Saturn opposition. Yeah, it's about the it's a lifetime thing. It's a lifetime cycle for something, for an entity or a person. And so, but this is of course the very first Saturn opposition. Bitcoin is only 14 years old. And so there will be many more Saturn oppositions in Bitcoin's history, but this is a big deal because it's a lot of angst filled growing up that has to happen. So, okay, because the Saturn retrograde, that puts things off. So it won't even be until 2025 that we see it go exact. So we don't have to worry about that for another year or so.
That is excellent news.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very bullish in the summer, bearish in the fall.
And even then, we're always taking the bullish outlook over the long term. As much as I
Yes, no
am
FUD
into
here, no
this,
FUD from me.
right? I love the astrology, but the underlying fundamentals are also there too. This is a pro Bitcoin podcast. We are pro Bitcoin people. Take your little
Yes.
orange pills.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Is there anything you wanted to promote here before we call it a night? Something you want to advertise, projects you do, ways we can support you doing more of this work?
Yeah. Well, I have a Substack where all of my astrology writings are published. It's called cosmographics.substack.com. I write a lunation newsletter, so I put out a newsletter every time there's a new moon and a full moon every 2 weeks. And I also am a consulting astrologer, so I offer private natal chart readings. And you can find me on Twitter at Glass Delusions and send me a message if you want a natal chart reading. It's a really great way of it's a great way to evaluate your life at in from an astrological perspective. So, yeah, you can message me if you want that.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for another episode of the Scarlet Thread Society. I really hope you all enjoyed this one as thoroughly as I did. Be looking for that article we were talking about in the comments below. Have a nice night, everyone.
Thanks for having me. Bye.